T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Uniform unveiling last night, or yesterday, late morning, and then the party last night, and it was cool. It was a lot of fun. Shout out to the listeners that we saw out there. It's really fun to be part of celebrations about the Texans. Hopefully many, many more of those to come. One of the big questions, there's a few questions that we've had asked on the text page and so forth. One big one is, hey, I saw these videos and I saw that, you had players modeling the uniform at the party. But the videos are the big thing because in the videos, Seth, I listed the players that I saw in all the videos for the Texans. And it looked like it was Stingley was in there a lot, Christian Harris, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Jimmy Ward, Jalen Petrie, Christian Harris. I can't remember if I said Christian Harris's name, but there's like 6 or 7 guys that were in these videos. Oh, Will Anderson was in there quite a bit. Will Anderson. I think that's it. No C.J. Stroud in any of them. The videos were shot right around the time of, well, like the day that they did the private reveal for some of us in the media and for the fan council back in March. So I know CJ's been doing a lot of traveling. I know he's been spending most of his offseason in California. He traveled outside the country for the first time in his life this offseason. He went to Turks and Caicos. My guess is it's not anything where CJ's like, I don't want to do this. My guess is it comes down to geography and availability. Yeah. And these are 7 guys who are spending the offseason here in Houston who wanted to model the uniforms and who the team sees as guys that fans want to see in those uniforms as well, you know?
Yeah, I think it was just logistics. It wasn't like CJ. I don't think there's any conspiracy theory or anything about David Mulligetta anything like that. Yeah, CJ had a really busy offseason.
Yeah.
And like the Pro Bowl and Super Bowl activities especially, I think were probably a lot. Was for Will Anderson too, but just I think that I would prefer, like, at one point there, after the Super Bowl, I kind of felt like, all right, I hope that CJ just kind of closes himself off from everything for a while. And I was nervous, and then I realized that, because stuff kept coming out with CJ, and then I realized that almost all of it was stuff that was filmed during the Super Bowl.
It was like leftovers.
Yeah. Like, I think that Kevin Hart interview was probably done during the Super Bowl week, too.
I think you're right.
I think he was just laying low, which is totally cool. And I would much prefer the quarterback to be well rested, bright eyed, and bushy tailed than like a huge part of the uniform unveiling.
Yeah, no. Understand, I'm somebody who still suffers from Deshaun Watson PTSD to some extent. So like anytime CJ like talks glowingly about Los Angeles, I'm like, oh, here we go. We're gonna have him for 5 years. He's gonna find a way to get to. I'm at that end of the worry scale, and admittedly, like, worrying way too much about it. I'm not worried about this at all, about him not being in these videos, you know? And I'm way less worried about the long term with him than I was maybe when it initially started here. It seems like everything's moving in the right direction right now.
Maybe just for insurance, though, it'd be nice if both the Chargers and the Rams found themselves the Chargers are fine, but if the Rams find themselves a young stud quarterback that'll be there for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And we just cross our fingers and hope that Justin Herbert just stays on Jim Harbaugh's good side.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I want to talk to you about that, but let's get through these first. Some weird news coming out about the odds on the Chargers and quarterbacks and whatnot. We'll get to it. Getting asked this question still, like, why is there so little H-Town Blue? Because understandably, not everybody listened to Cal and Hannah on Sports Radio 610 yesterday. A lot of people did. We had our highest YouTube numbers in the brief history of our YouTube channel by far yesterday. Over 1,000 YouTube viewers yesterday for Cal and Hannah in studio.
Like at the same time. Yeah,
yeah.
Like while they were watching.
Yeah, like literally 1,000. I think it was like 1,100 people watching at once. But some of you didn't get to hear it, and I think when the uniforms got unveiled, there was some level of disappointment that there wasn't an H-Town blue, the light blue, the near Columbia blue, head-to-toe type uniform. The McNairs talked about this yesterday. They said they were disappointed there wasn't more H-Town blue, and I think you can read between the lines as to why that is.
So we heard that loud and clear from our fans.
Yeah.
They wanted H-Town blue represented. They wanted Houston represented. And so we worked with the NFL, and there was some push and shove, and we came to where we wanted, where we could get to with the NFL.
A compromise.
Giving us a compromise mm-hmm. and a certain percentage in the uniform. And I think our fans would like more.
Yeah.
And we're probably in that same boat. But, you know, we're working with the powers that be with the league and all that stuff to get to where we could get.
I think there was some talk. I think even publicly we discussed that we were going to be able to use a different color than Columbia blue.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that was released, and we got approval to do that, that's when we started.
Maybe there was some, how did he put it? Give and take or something like that?
Compromise.
A lot of compromise.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where they just said, no, you can't. And then we compromised.
What was the reason?
What do you think?
I'm just asking.
That's great. The reason is the owner of the Titans, in case people can't read between the lines right there. That's what's being alluded to.
Titans threw up a big old hissy fit, yeah.
Yep.
And so the quantity of the H-Town blue and all of that was just, it was all a big negotiation.
Yeah.
And I think I also think that based on another thing Cal had said, at one point in the interview, he said it was about 50-50, the number of people that wanted the H-Town blue back versus those that didn't. It was kind of polarizing. I would imagine the people that didn't want the H-Town blue back are pretty cool with the amount that's in the new ones, the color rush. It's not like overpowering. It doesn't feel like you're trying to be the Oilers, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. And I think when you say that, I'm going, wow, 50%, and I'm not disputing the numbers, but I'm thinking, okay, well, the 50% that don't want it, I'd love to know the reason. Like, what's the breakdown of the reason why they didn't want it? I would guess a majority are probably Houstonians who just like, hey, we don't need to be the Oilers, man. Like, we're our own thing, right?
Yeah. Or even younger people that just weren't Oilers fans because they were too young to be here when the Oilers left town.
I like the color, though. That's the thing. Like, independent of the history behind the color, I think it's a cool color scheme. I like it.
It does. The only thing I could see some people, too, the people that didn't like some of the initial leaks, I think they just didn't like the fact that regardless of the legacy, it still looks in some ways like a Titans jersey. Like that part is okay. Say whatever you want about the Oilers and the nostalgia for the Oilers. That is also the Titans that you face twice a year right now. You're lifting a little bit off of something to them. And so I think some people just didn't like that part.
I definitely agree with that. Speaking of the Titans, are they circling the Titans on the calendar this year? Has this uniform flap taken the rivalry between the Texans and the Titans to a new level now?
Are you ready to play the Titans again? I know you kind of enjoyed that sweep last year. You you got that marked on the calendar. Is that
you know what's so
schedule?
Funny is I was seeing some articles about Hannah salty about them wearing the uniforms. Who started that? Who
exactly.
started it wearing it against us? And then if anybody was at that game, their in-house PA mm-hmm. was instigating it. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable, but mm-hmm. also wonderful because we finished the story. Okay?
She went
I mean, who's salty here? You know, rivalry is good for the league.
It's here, right?
Yeah, it's good for the league.
And the Titans are the top rival. It seems like it kind of moves. Right now, is that our top rival?
Well, first they need to beat us.
Oh, wow.
So it's not a rivalry yet. Okay.
Wow. So we got to go.
That's how you do it.
Okay, Colts. There you go. Look at Cal. That ain't one time.
Cal's like, here's the hot sauce.
Here she goes again. Here she goes again.
I want to beat all our AFC South friends and neighbors.
Yeah.
Twice, each one of them.
Yeah. Cal trying to reel it back in. Good luck. Cal trying to reel it back in. We are entering a new era of Texans football, my friend, where we have an owner, wife of the owner, the wife of the official on paper owner, who is more than willing to say, hey, man, rivalry is a good thing. You got to beat us before this becomes a rivalry. That is now the number two trending most popular article on the Houston Chronicle. Not among sports, among all the articles. Hannah McNair rips Titans, talks about compromise on blue uniforms. Number two headline in the Chronicle right now.
I don't think, I don't think the Titans are the biggest rivalry. I think historically, you can make an argument for all three different ones. The Colts historically have owned the Texans, and now I feel like it's gotten to the point where the Texans had been better than the Colts in some years. I feel like right now with Anthony Richardson especially coming, and if he stays healthy this year the Colts will feel like a bigger rival.
You think?
And the Colts are more poised to make the playoffs than the Titans by a long shot too.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's going to be a more brutal and physical matchup between the Colts and the Titans. The Titans can be kind of afterthoughts for at least one more year.
Yeah, I see.
Until Will Levis gets injured a bunch, because he's gonna.
See, this is where the difference between you, like, you're looking at the football part of it, and I look at the WWE part of it. You know, like, I'm like, this uniform thing, I don't know. Like, maybe it dies down by the time the season rolls around. I'm not sure. I'm writing to myself, hey, put up a poll. Who's the biggest rival now? You know, Titans, Colts, maybe just do Titans and Colts. Throw the Jags in there, whatever. Maybe now is not the time to do it, because the Titans would probably win just based on recency bias and Hannah stoking the flames right there. It's definitely a good debate and conversation. Who do you personally hate more, the Titans or the Colts? You played against them a bunch of
Colts.
Times. Colts.
Yeah, the Colts. Yeah, okay. Miserable. There's a reason I don't like the entire state of Indiana. Most of the people that I like who are from Indiana are people who escaped it, you know.
Yeah, they live here.
Like Moe or, you know, Sarah Pepper. Sarah Pepper. They escaped the state of Indiana.
Nessa Richardson.
They're smart enough to get out. Yeah, smart enough to get out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, their loved ones who remain are vile scum, but still.
I think Deepy's from there as well. I think she's from
Indiana.
That's
right, Deepy Sadu's from up there too. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So all the best Indianans are no longer in Indiana.
They got exported. Their greatest exports from the state of Indiana are those four people we just named right there.
50-50 split, by the way, that I said. I think I'm completely wrong on that. So disregard what I had said about the 50-50
That felt
split.
Like way more people not wanting the H-Town Blue than what I thought. The H-Town Blue is really popular. But I
must have had a dream about that or something.
Okay. Why is there no CJ in the videos? No answer on that, but I think it's just logistics and geography. Why is there so little H-Town Blue in the uniforms? You just heard why. Because Amy Adams Strunk is the worst. And then number three, the one I'm hearing is, okay, like, are the uniforms were released, you know, the graphics that they got released in were all, like, in specific combinations. Like, the white jersey was with the blue pants in almost everything that originally came out. Vice versa, the same. Blue jersey, white pants, and then obviously the battle red and the color rush, head to toe in those color schemes with supporting colors mixed into the trim and whatnot. So are those the four jerseys? Like, okay, so now for every home game, is it blue jerseys, white pants? No, they're still going to mix and match. And we know this because they put out pictures yesterday, if you haven't seen them, that look incredible of the different combinations. Like the white jersey with the white pants looks so clean with these uniforms. I don't know why it hits different. Maybe it's because it's these pictures that are professionally taken and it's not in person. Yeah. People running, you know, and we're seeing they did a good job of finding the players whose physiques make the uniform look best. You know, I don't think it's any, no disrespect to your defensive lineman brethren, Seth, but I don't think it's any accident that it's Nico Collins, Christian Harris, you know, Tank Dell.
Oh, yeah, they didn't use any of the big dudes. Like, no. The Broncos video used one of their big offensive linemen, and I kind of liked that. That just brings more personality to it.
Which,
if you wanted to have Titus Howard out there or something.
I was going
to
say, which...
Titus would have been all about it.
So would Laramie was in the meetings to help put the uniforms together. Like, they were getting... Mm-hmm. He was one of the players they were getting input from. Which Texans offensive lineman looks best in a uniform? Like, if you had to trot one of the offensive linemen for the Texans, that's the only thing. You have to pick one player, and it has to be an offensive lineman to model these uniforms from the Texans. Who are you picking?
Yeah, probably Laramie.
I think definitely.
I don't know Laramie. I don't know if Laramie might be too kind of. He's too smooth to like act the fool
to lean into
it. The cameras, yeah. So to like really act the fool and ham it up. I don't know if that's if that would be it. I feel like Titus might ham it up a little bit more.
Yeah. So
I don't need it to be Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
That's not
no.
You know, Juice Scruggs is too young.
Dude, maybe that would have been a good way to unveil the new Kenyon Green if he's indeed, you know, gotten into some better football shape.
He came out and he was just like he looked like Zeus or something.
Well,
yeah.
And he's in a different number now. He's number 76. He's not number 59 anymore. And they unveil him and they're like, "Ah, who's this 76? This guy looks an offensive lineman for sure, but he's looking pretty good." And then you look and you get a close up of the face. And you go, "Wait a second. It's Kenyon Green wearing this uniform." It would have been. It didn't happen, but that would have been awesome.
What about one of the new acquisitions, if it had been like Danielle Hunter or Joe Mixon,
dude,
or somebody like that.
Danielle Hunter in the new Texans uniform is going to look like a monster.
Yeah, Danielle Hunter looks like a physiology.
He in the battle
diagram,
red, he might look like an alien in the battle red uniforms.
That's true. Yeah, that's going to be really.
He's
we got some good. They drafted or they brought in some good get off the bus appeal.
Yes. It's a good way to put it. It's a good way to put it. Someone says, "I want a Hannah McNair jersey."
So, were there any Hannah McNair tattoos? Was that one of the ones you were allowed to get?
I didn't see what the choices were.
I think the choices were either the logo or the H, the old English H from the alternate colors.
Yeah. Tyler Milner got one. I think he's the only one from the station that got one, if I'm not mistaken. People asking, is Hannah a WWE fan? She just shouted out Cody Rhodes with Finish the Story. She is. They Cal and Hannah went to WWE last summer and they met Cody Rhodes backstage, and that's kind of his saying is he finished the story at WrestleMania. So yeah, that's a subtle. I would guess that's a subtle shout out to Cody Rhodes. Is she a WWE fan? She should be. If she's not, she should be. Listen to the way she talks to Amy Adams Strunk. These two are on their way to SummerSlam with each other before we know it.
Yeah, I don't look. Hey. Like Hannah said, it's not like the Texans started any of it. The Titans choosing to wear their throwbacks when they were playing the Texans was one of the most like Bush League petty things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was really disgusting. And then she paraded her coach out there in a little cowboy outfit and she'd fire him a few weeks later. Like this is the downside. There's some legacy ownership in the NFL that's worked out spectacularly well. The Rooneys and Pittsburgh and what have you. With the Titans, it's going just as bad as it did with the original owner himself.
Yeah.
They making a mockery of themselves as they do petty things. So, yeah, they deserve a little bit of a come up instead.
Amy Adams Strunk chose violence. And
she did.
She chose violence, and she picked on the wrong people.
She All was. Right. You know what? Yeah, she was like in Game of Thrones when Littlefinger thought he was pulling something on Cersei, and then Cersei basically, where he says knowledge is power, and she all of a sudden has all of her guards like 3/10 of a second away from murdering him, and she goes, "No, power is power.
Power is power." It's a great line.
Yeah, and that's what the Texans did to Amy Adams Strunk.
Yep.
They said, "No, power is power.
Power is power." Yep, absolutely. All right, draft tomorrow. We've got you covered here on Sports Radio 610, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Seth will be on the Friday coverage. I'll be on the Saturday coverage here on Sports Radio 610. Let's do this. The mocks are out. The mocks are flying right now. The Texans don't have a pick in the first round, but if they went this route in the second round, how are we feeling? We will discuss coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I'm Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, let's do this. We're a day away from the draft. Tomorrow night, round one, we've got you covered here on Sports Radio 610, Texans Radio. Seth will be out there at the draft party. I'll be out there too, but I'll be actually like walking around. Seth will be dropping knowledge with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer about what hopefully are a few Texans draft picks on day two. They'll be picking at least a couple guys, but I think for sure there's going to be moving around. So that makes the mock drafts a little bit of a fluid thing, but I think the conversations are still worth having here about, okay, players the Texans could be looking at around 42. If I had to guess, Seth, I would say for sure between the 42nd pick and the 59th pick, for sure the Texans will move off of one of those. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if they moved off of both of them at some point. You know, moving up or back a little bit.
Yeah, and I almost wonder, too, if the most likely thing is that they move back, just because if we just talk about one position, the defensive tackles, there really are. We were talking about the defensive tackles with John Harris earlier, but like, there's so many guys, whether it's Chris Jenkins, Michael Hall Jr., Braden Fisk, that are really athletic but not necessarily ideal size. They're not, you know, they're not some of these freakazoids that are 6'5", 320 that run a 4.7 40 like we've seen in recent years. They're a little bit more undersized, but they're very athletic. They've got good, they made a bunch of plays, and they're almost, I don't want to say they're carbon copies, but there's just a boatload of them that are projected to go in the second and third round. And I could see the Texans kind of having a similar grade on all of them, to where if it's at 42, they might just feel like, all right, look, there's still three defensive tackles that we like. Let's just move back a little bit.
Yeah.
And see if we get one of these guys. I could see also now the flip side of it would be, since there's so many wide receivers that are so good, that if maybe a couple of them slip further in the first round or into the second round than they thought, then that's when they might be trading up.
Yeah.
I feel like the most likely scenario where they trade up, even though I don't think it would be a popular move necessarily for the Texans fans, because it would feel like, man, there's so many other draft positions we need. What are you doing messing around? But it might just be too tempting when you've got one of your three best receivers is on a 1-year deal.
Yep.
That, all right, we got to take this guy. We've got a chance at what's a great value.
Yeah, I think that's possible. John Harris left open that possibility as well when we talked to him earlier. If you missed that, you can get it on our podcast or on the Rewind feature. Okay, so Jordan Reed has a 7-round mock out. God bless the people this season that go beyond the first round for Payne and Pendergast purposes. So with the 42nd pick in the Jordan Reed 7-round mockaroo, he's got the Texans taking Chris Jenkins, one of the names you just said, Seth, defensive tackle out of Michigan. Here's what he says. Houston has had arguably the best offseason of any team in the NFL, and it can continue to add youth to its defense with its first pick of the draft. Jenkins is a durable run defender. He's got room to grow as a pass rusher, but he would likely be afforded time to develop with the Texans. Do you believe that last part, given how the defensive tackle depth chart looks right now, that he would be, quote, afforded time to develop with the Texans?
Yeah, well, I think so, because partly is that they rotate anyway. They're always going to play eight guys, so it's easy to find. It's really easy to find time for defensive linemen, because usually you're going to rotate anyway. And then also, guys are, you know, whatever they're good at, you can put them in those situations. And like whatever they're bad at, you can keep it. You know, Chris Jenkins right now needs to learn a few things about how to overcome his size when it comes to sinking down on double teams and everything. Like that can come later. You're not going to be sticking him in there and in short yardage situations right off the bat. So I think that, yeah, whichever defensive tackle the Texans take, whether it's in second, third, fourth round or whatever, they're going to have a chance to get some snaps without having a boatload of pressure on them.
The other defensive tackles that are names that you've talked about before when we've done this exercise that were on the board at the time, and neither of them go for like another 12 picks, but Michael Hall Jr. from Ohio State goes 54 in this mock draft. Braden Fisk of Florida State goes 55 to the Dolphins in this draft.
Yeah, Braden Fisk will be an interesting one just because he's another one that he's got those short arms, you know, sometimes it doesn't matter at all. There's a lot of guys that have short arms that end up being awesome. I get nervous when the short arms show up. And I think there's times with Braden Fisk where he gets stuck at the line against bigger offensive linemen and just stays stuck there, where it feels like almost like a big brother holding a little brother off with his arms at length. So I worry a little bit about that, but his athleticism and everything else is so good and the upside is there that I'll be surprised if he lasts that long. Michael Hall Jr. out of Ohio State, I love the way he plays. I mean, he's a badass, and he's a tough dude. I don't know if he has the same slippery athleticism that a lot of the guys like Chris Jenkins do.
Yeah.
He's a little bit more of a turn and run type of guy than he is, you know, getting skinny and flipping his hips and all of that. So I don't know if I'm torn on Michael Hall Jr. right now. But as far as like actually liking these guys, I don't know if it's, I don't, like, they all play their asses off. Like, I don't think there's a single one of these defensive tackles projected to go in the second or third round that you're going to feel is a turd or isn't trying hard or anything. They all play with their hair on fire. So that part of it makes me excited that if they take any defensive lineman in the second or third round, I feel like that it's probably going to be a solid dude that's the kind, like D'Amico's kind of guy.
A high floor. Like, this guy's not going to bottom out. You know, like, he's at least going to put the effort in to become the best version of himself.
Yeah.
Real quick, because people are probably wondering, well, who'd they take with pick 59? Ben, can I get a little 59th pick? This is a name that John Harris actually brought up earlier today, too. Mike Sanristil, the slot cornerback from Michigan. The infectious energy and toughness of Sanristil is an easy fit in D'Amico Ryan's defense. He'll be a nickel corner at the next level where his ball skills should translate. He had 6 interceptions last season for the Wolverines. So there you go, slot corner. With the 59th overall
pick. Do you think the most likely position to go in the second round, I bet, is cornerback?
For the Texans, you're saying?
For the Texans, yeah. For the Texans. Just because I'm not buying 100% that they're totally comfortable with whoever wins the competition opposite Stingley right now, that they want to add more to that competition.
If I had to pick like an exacta of two different positions, I would pick defensive tackle and cornerback. You know, they were doing it was like a horse race. I'm like, I'm going to take that horse and that horse, and try to get both of them right here. That would be my exacta with wide receiver just lurking because there's so many good ones.
Well, and plus at cornerback, you know, you've got a lot of guys on short term contracts.
Yes,
too.
Yeah,
and it's like, and you can never do. It's just cornerbacks are like pitchers. Like you just can't have too many good ones these days in the NFL. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Larry is in Stafford. He was at the party last night. Larry is understandably giddy over the new uniforms, and he joins us now. What's going on, my friend? How are you?
I'm doing great, Sean, Seth. Hey, my voice is kind of messed up from last night.
Yeah, it is. You were making the rounds, my friend.
We're going to fight through this, Sean. Look, what the Texans did last night at the Post, man, and the Music Hall with that entire setup may have been one of the greatest events I've ever been to as a Texan fan. And I've been to a lot of them. But last night, man, they had waiters and waitresses walking around with more food on a stick, whether it was chicken and lobster and shrimp. They had stands that had noodles and pho and shrimp and pecan pies and pudding. And I mean, I was just insanely just crazy about what I was seeing. And then they had an open bar for your boy. Man, I don't know how much I drank last night, but I can tell you that what they did was all first class, man, and they should be proud of the effort that not only what Doug and his staff did, but what Greg and the entire business side of the organization did last night, bringing this thing together for the city of Houston and especially for the fans. Because if you're a fan of the Houston Texans, yesterday should have been one of your highlight days of the newness and the energy that we're all going to feel just based on the uniforms alone and the fact that we got a squad that can go into any place now and not only look good, but play good. And that's what it's all about. And I'm not real worried about CJ Stroud not being in the video. Matter of fact, I'm kind of cool with it because the more you keep CJ out there practicing and getting his feet right and doing everything he needs to do to take us to the Super Bowl, I'm good with it. Son, I got to talk about this Love Your Blue, Columbia Blue thing that we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That H-Town Blue last night, man, was just enough of a blue that should satisfy everybody. When I was sitting in those fan council meetings, everybody wanted the Columbia Blue because that was what Houston is about and everything, man. And we knew that old Amy stanky ass wasn't going to give us that blue, man, because her daddy threw double rods at the city of Houston on his way out of town. So his daughter is just a spitting image of him. And she can keep her ass in Nashville and fly her ass from Houston to Nashville every Sunday to go watch that squad just like her dad did, because they know that they did the city of Houston wrong, and they've been trying to shove it in our face ever since they left. But here's the thing about the Columbia Blue. It's time to forge our own identity. We all love the Oilers. I was sitting in my grandmother's living room in 1978-79 watching Mike Renfro catch that touchdown in Pittsburgh, and they took it away from us. But we have survived the fact that we lost our squad, and now Cal and Hannah have given us something that we all should be getting behind. And as far as Hannah go, oh, Lord, man, I don't know what Cal – never mind, I ain't going to talk about that. I'll talk to you, Sean, on that, on the under in our hall.
Okay, I don't know what that all means, but, yeah, you know, Hannah was on one yesterday in a good way. It was all really, really good, man. It was a lot of fun. All right, let's do this because we're up against it. Larry did say something about the uniforms there and moving forward that I was feeling that I haven't really talked about yet, and I want to bounce that off of Seth. And also, with the draft coming up tomorrow, you can't talk too much – never talk too much draft. If you're looking at positions, what does history tell us the Texans should be looking at if you're just trying to get these picks right? That is next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I will say this about the new uniforms. One thing I heard Larry say, Larry and Stafford just called in the previous segment, and that is one thing, like the newness. Like I'm always curious, like how like new stuff is going to be received, and everybody's got memories in the old uniforms and whatnot. And it's not like the Texans have won at the highest of levels in those uniforms, so a lot of people may be ready for a change or something like that. But I don't know, Seth. Maybe it's like the fact that it's draft week, and draft week is a little like the holiday season in football, like where like whatever it is you're feeling in the holiday season, like Christmas for me at least, kind of augments it, and you know, like you feel. Whatever emotion you're feeling, you feel like even like it's increased because it's the holidays and things like that.
Right.
That's what these uniforms feel like to me. And maybe because it's draft week and it was a year ago this week that this franchise really did do the most important things they needed to do to set the course for this new era of football, which was find a quarterback. None of that stuff. I feel like none of that stuff last night. I don't say none of it is happening, but I don't think it happens to the degree that it's happening if C.J. Stroud is not a Houston Texan. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Oh, yeah. If they had kind of muddled through last year
and,
you know, had a losing record, certainly, then, yeah, it would have been it wouldn't have been on such a grand scale.
I think that's a good way to put it. I think we for sure would feel like it's moving in the right direction. D'Amico's the coach. They're operating like a normal NFL franchise. They've got some good players on the team. But C.J. Stroud is what takes this thing over the top. So maybe that's what's got me feeling that kind of way. But I really like with these uniforms, I feel like, man, this is like a new era now. You know, like there is something symbolic about these that have me feeling a little more that type of emotion than I thought I would.
Right, you know? Right. You know, it don't, like we talked about earlier, if you'd done this 2 years ago, it would have felt like lipstick on a pig.
Yeah.
That you're just like, all right, great, we got brand new. It's like your mom trying to disguise liver as something awesome because she put like a colorful parsley on top of it.
Put a rub on it. A rub on liver.
Don't worry, we slow cooked it.
Yeah, ooh. Exactly.
Wow, exactly. I bet that's awesome.
We aged these livers for 3 weeks. Yeah. So, yeah, that's just, I mean, Larry kind of articulated it in his call, but I'm like, yeah, that's what I was feeling yesterday. I'm like, man, this is like, this is a new era, and it feels good, man. Feels really, really good. I don't know what the Texans are going to do when picks 42 and 59 roll around. They probably won't pick in those spots. If they move back into the first round, they might want this bit of data. You brought this to my attention, Seth. I think this stuff is interesting. Adam Schefter tweeted this out from ESPN content producer at Paul Hembo. He calculated the percentage of first-round picks that hit or miss based upon whether that player signed a second contract with the team that drafted them. The data encompasses the 20 drafts spanning 2000 through 2019. The highest positional hit rates, which makes you wonder why more of these guys aren't drafted in the first round.
For first-rounders especially.
For first-rounders, like the very highest one by far. Again, a smaller sample size, but centers, there's been 12 drafted in the first round over the last couple decades, from 2000 to 2019. Only one has not gotten a second contract. Yeah. Only one. Offensive tackle is next at 59%, so it's way lower.
I think that's one of those situations where to get drafted in the first round as a center, you've got to be a really, really good prospect. So it makes sense that those guys like teams to be tempted into drafting a center have to feel very, very good about that guy, and that maybe that's just a reflection of that, and it's one of the less, because it's one of the lesser valued positions. But yeah, I think with all of these, because when you go to the other end of the spectrum, wide receivers are the least successful in terms of getting a second contract with their own team. If you think about the difference between like offensive line versus wide receiver, offensive line is, like, don't get me wrong, it's a lot about the athletic potential and ability, but it's such a technique-heavy position, and there's so many things that they look at above and beyond the athleticism, where I think that maybe they take a better look at the overall, because centers, offensive tackles, and guards are the best. They have the highest success rate. The five lowest that are all in the red here, 40%, that are less than 40%, cornerbacks, running backs, safeties, tight ends, and wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I would say, except for the tight end position, those are all skill position spots where I think sometimes people overvalue the physical testing. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of wide receivers, especially. Man, people love a wide receiver that runs a 4.3 40, and yet when you look at the actual best wide receivers in the league, they're not typically, there are a lot of guys that are not like testing gifted. Yeah, like their route running, their suddenness, all that stuff doesn't necessarily show up on the raw physical stuff. So I think people swing on huge upside at those positions a lot more than they do at offensive line.
I think it's interesting that wide receiver has such a low hit rate, and I, especially heading into a draft where there's so many good ones, you know, that this might even this might even make teams feel even more like, well, now I'm definitely going to wait till day two to draft any of these wide receivers, because look at what the history is. And it's got more players other than edge rusher and cornerback. No, other than edge rusher, there's been more wide receivers drafted over that time span than any other position. This made me think with the wide receiver, and it's 27% is the hit rate for wide receivers. That is really low. I mean, that is really low. As far as guys who got second contracts, that is incredibly low. It made me think of something that Mark Schlereth said last week when I had him on my podcast, and I think we played this audio here on Payne and Pendergast, where he said there's no more interdependent position than wide receiver. That if you don't, if your quarterback is a bust, if you play on a team where the offensive line stinks and you're a guy whose game is getting downfield and your QB doesn't have time to throw all that stuff, that you're kind of sunk as far as being, as far as trying to be like an elite wide receiver.
Right. Yeah. Whereas like with edge rush, so edge rushers, there have been more edge rushers drafted in the first round than any other position by far.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. I mean, they impact the quarterback for the opposing team. Like they have they're one of the best things you can get to counteract that. Like they have a relatively good success rate. They're right in the middle of the pack for how many edge rushers you end up drafting.
Yeah, 44% have been hits. I do think it's really interesting that the only positions that are at or above 50% are just the offensive linemen.
Yeah,
that those are, I guess, technically the safest picks, at least in terms of wanting to keep the guys around for another contract.
Maybe part of that too is they also stay healthier. They have more
life.
Time. I think they give them time to develop too, because there's just so many offensive linemen that take a few years to get genuinely good. So they're a little bit more patient with that.
Yeah. And again, these are players that signed second contracts with the team that drafted them, not just signing, you know, some leaving free agency or whatever. But I guess the theory is if you were truly a hit for a team, you would do whatever it took to keep them on your roster.
That's where I don't quite buy this methodology when it comes to quarterbacks, because now we're in the era of guys are getting second contracts whether the team feels good about it or not. End up just being like apparently Daniel Jones was a successful pick because he got a second contract.
Right,
you know?
According to this. Text message, a lot of people still weighing in on the uniforms for the Texans. My biggest disappointment regarding the uniforms is that the alternates look the best and we won't see them basically at all during the regular season. Well, you'll see them three times. They won't be hidden at all. I am disappointed that you can only wear them three times, but maybe that contributes
to 17 isn't all that much, though, you know?
I always think, well, yeah, that's, you know, 3 out of 17, I'm always thinking just in terms of the home games. But you're right, like 3 out of 17, 3 out of the whole season. Is not much. Okay, now I'm with you. Seth has me in the same spot as you, Texter. That's a big disappointment. Let's petition the league about that.
Whatever percentage 3 out of 17 is, it's
why would they do that? Why would they make it so limited, the NFL, to only wear those alternate uniforms three times, like basically 1/6 of the season?
Why does the NFL do any of the things they do when it comes to like,
but they're
intentionally?
They're super successful.
I know, they're very successful. Part of it is I think they try to be. I think there's a certain part of the NFL that wants there to be an image of stability.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, in only doing those things every now and then, you still feel like, okay, even if people think it's boring, there's a sense of stability that, like, oh, okay, that's my team's uniform and that's what I usually see. But it's, oh, okay, every now and then we have a little bit of fun and we go, you know, we get to wear our battle red.
You know what I would have liked to have seen one of the helmets be? A matte finish helmet. I like the matte finish helmets.
Yeah.
Those are good looking.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you do, you know, with the deep steel blue, that can be like a gunmetal matte.
Yeah.
That's a badass looking look.
Yeah, that just dawned on me.
Although the candy red paint on the face mask for the battle red was
a nice touch.
Yeah, I actually like that more than I would take that over the matte stuff.
Yeah.
I like the what they did with the Battle Red is really, really cool.
The chrome face mask there. Yeah, that's good stuff. Hey, can I ask you something just office etiquette real quick? Because we're going to go to the guys out. The In-the-Loop guys are out at the Brothers in Arms golf tournament today. So we'll bring them in a second. I was really thirsty. I ran out of drinks today. I usually bring like 3 or 4 sparkling waters up to the station with me. And I was exceptionally thirsty today, probably because I had a few last night.
Oh, so you drank some of the Mad Dog?
No, that's gone. That's been been tossed.
Clint had the 93-pound cleaning lady haul that down. That's right.
The fridge in the break room only has beer, and I don't want to drink a beer right now, and one small can of Sprite, like one of those mini cans of Sprite.
Yeah.
And that thing's been in there forever. What is the statute of limitations on a drink being in, a canned drink being in the fridge before it becomes a community drink?
If it's a mini can, then it was definitely for one of our parties, I think.
Okay.
So it was that's just a community Sprite that somebody was at, like maybe they were at one of those events or something and they were in the and they just stuck it in the fridge because everybody was leaving or
So I can have
you
that.
Just go ahead and drink that.
I can have that. Okay. That's a good thought. I hadn't thought about that. I forgot. We do tend to party up here a little
bit. That's what I did with a community champagne round Christmas time once. I was up late because I was doing a live stream and everything and I was like, oh, there's three bottles of champagne. I'm taking them.
Yeah.
These are left over from the holiday party. Oh, I didn't drink. I didn't take all three. I drank one of them. Okay. I didn't drink three bottles.
One bottle. Yeah. Landry's ready. Landry and John, they're out there. Okay. Well, cool. Let's bring them in. The In the Loop fellas. Good day yesterday on the show yesterday. Got a lot of run from the Cal and Hannah interview. Gentlemen, how we doing?
What's up? It's just me.
Oh, it's just you.
Yeah. I'm here.
Okay.
What's Lopez doing?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Well,
it's good to have you.
It's just me. Yeah, we're at the 4th annual Brothers in Arms. We got one sleep till the draft. I'm really, really excited. I'm really, really encouraged. I kind of feel like I'm starting to drink a little Kool-Aid when it comes to tomorrow. I'm officially TKA. I'm Team Kool-Aid.
Okay.
I have my draft crush. It has developed. It seems to make sense, and if he falls to the back of the first round, I'm all about going and getting another cornerback.
Okay,
so you're literally Kool-Aid McKinstry, right? I didn't know you were talking about drinking the Kool-Aid in terms of like the Texans and the PR and all that stuff.
Meant
Kool-Aid McKinstry himself. Okay,
nah. Kool-Aid McKinstry. I'm in on it.
What are you doing for the first round, for the night of the first round, where the last 2 years we've been partying it up at the Miller Outdoor Theater? What does a Landry Locker night one look like right now?
I'm gonna be streaming, man. I'm gonna be streaming with Cody Stutes, little home and home. We're gonna do night one and night two.
Okay.
So I'll be streaming on YouTube, Locker Room.
Okay.
But you can listen to Sports Radio 610, but you can go to Locker Room if you
for
so
sure.
Are you guys doing, you're like co-streaming together, like he's doing it on his stream and you're doing it on your stream at the same time?
We're gonna go home and home, so we'll just cut it in half. Half of one and then I'll have the other.
Oh.
You can do that, but it would kind of be
so you're not crossing streams with Cody. I got it.
Well, they'll be crossing streams at some point because nobody knows when.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Sure.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
No
well, that'll be fun. All right. The Locker Room and then Cody Stutes. That'll be cool. Landry, Seth brought his little daughter out to the Texans uniform.
I saw that.
Last
I thought he used her as a human shield against Hannah.
That was smart.
What he said.
That was a good strategic move by you, Landry.
Landry, it felt like you got a lot of like. It felt a little bit like a big rapper had done a diss track on you or something, and it was really good for you, right?
Yeah, she was. I mean, she was definitely the J. Cole, and I was the I was more of the Drake. So yeah, that's cool. But yeah,
but that ends up being a good thing, right? Like,
oh,
like
it's a great thing.
It's a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would much rather, because there's been times where you put yourself in position, and first of all, if I'm gonna criticize the uniforms, I'm gonna have to criticize the home uniforms, but I would much rather someone come in and say they got receipts on what you said than just come in and kind of coast through the interview, you know? So mm-hmm. I actually very much enjoyed it. And let's be honest, I deserve probably more than most to get kicked in the nuts with what I say. So I'm very, very okay with it.
You got to be. Yeah, I think you have to
be. Yeah, it helps that you can tell she loves it, you know.
Like, oh, yeah.
It? People people looked at that. All the people that were commenting on it to me just absolutely loved it. Like,
oh, yeah.
They look at it. They don't look at it like, oh, finally Landry got his. Yeah. They're more
I mean, like Hannah. I mean, you hear how me and Lopez talk to each other. She fits right in. She comes in there with the jabs. You can tell. You can tell she grew up with a lot of siblings, and I'm sure there was a lot of rivalries and talks. But I enjoyed it. Now I will say this, Lopez. Assuming that he gets here, he might ruin the momentum that that Hannah has built, because he has a comparison that I think is taking it just way too far.
She's over now. She's like in a over is a good adjective.
I think
people.
So too, but I think he might be taking it a little bit too far. We'll hear that at 10:20.
10:20. Okay, God, good Lord willing, right?
Little bit too far, I would say.
Yeah. Is it that he's trying too hard to set up like the Amy Adams Strunk versus
He's going to compare her to somebody, and I think it's a little much,
okay,
man.
Don't you let this character that Hannah has concocted here, this wrestling character, die at the hands of John Lopez, okay?
No. I mean, I don't think it can die, but I think this comparison is going to be interesting. I'm intrigued and open-minded to hear how he lays this out.
Okay, sounds good. John Lopez, Landry Locker, they are out at the Brothers in Arms tournament. Figgy Fig is back here in studio. You're listening to KLT, KLT HD2 on Odyssey Station. Seth, antibodies to you. I'll see you tomorrow. Draft day tomorrow, baby.
Antibodies and a Kool-Aid McKinstry to you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Maybe. You never know.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.